Welcome to Unleash Muslim Podcast. I'm your host, Alia, the Love Coach. Together, we'll explore metaphysical and energetical aspect of spirituality and also tie in the psychological and physical aspect. I invite you to join me with curiosity. Let's expand together and embrace our uniqueness and our unity. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode 5. And today we are talking about how to pray. Now, this is something that pretty much everybody who has ever claimed to practice any kind of religion, they know this word, how to prayer, and they think they know how to pray. So what I'm going to do in today's conversation, I'm going to share with you the physiology, the psychology, and also a bit of a metaphysical aspect about prayer. So first, let's dive into when I say prayer, two things come to mind. One is very ritualistic worship, and the other one is the conversation that we have with God. Like, you know, I need this, I'm going to pray for it. I need that, I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for health, I'm going to pray for wealth, whatever that is in our life. So first, let's talk about the conversation part, and then we are going to talk about the worship part. So when it comes to having a conversation with God, usually we start from a very low place. We start with like, you know, God, I don't have this, and I know you can give me this, so please give it to me. Sometimes we are in the mindset of lack and sadness and doom all at the same time. And then we wonder why my prayer didn't get heard. And then sometime your prayer gets heard. So you're like, okay, what was so special right now that my prayer got heard? There's a very specific science to it, because this universe is created in such a wonderful way. That's why I love studying this stuff. Once you understand that, you can actually do things in a specific way that you can have that direct conversation where it actually does get heard. So whenever you're having a conversation with God where you need something, you want something, start it from a foundational piece of trust. Trusting whatever you're asking will be given to you. That is the first piece. What trust does, it connects you with the energy of whatever you want. Because everything is being given to you in a metaphysical sense. So let's talk about in energy and physical. Everything is energy. If I want, let's say, a car, there is an energetical aspect to the car, and I will receive it, I'll work on it. I'm getting these images that, oh, that's how it should look like. That's all energy. And then using that energy, I am creating this physical car. So let's say, as soon as you say, I want X, energetically, the X is given to you right away. If you focus on, yes, I have it. I don't have it physically. I have it energetically. That emotion of having it already, just because you have asked it, and there is nothing that you would ask and you won't get. Unless, of course, you're violating other people's right. We are not talking about that. We are having a general conversation. So when you ask it with this emotion, I already have it. So what happens with that emotion? There's an element of excitement. Yes, I'm excited to have it. Emotions travel faster than even our thought does. So when you are approaching this conversation with that emotion, the energy is going to manifest in physical form faster. Have you ever worked on a project that you were just so excited about and you got it done so quick? And then there was a project that you were dragging and you were dreading and you were like, why do I have to do this? It took such a long time and it was a very painful time for you too because you didn't like doing it. It's the same concept. when we do add that excitement energy into it, that I already have it, the particles move faster to make it into a physical form. So whenever you want anything from God, you are having a conversation. You can, you know, just talk to God. God, thank you for giving me all this. I love you. But when you're asking something, no, it's already been given to you energetically. And how you hold yourself emotionally is going to dictate how fast you are going to get it in the physical form. Now, another element that goes here is when we start to do this thing, like, you know, in the beginning, one time it works, the other time it didn't, it's very easy for us to get disheartened. Okay, I think I still don't know. The key to prayer is consistency. Keep doing it. And you'll start knowing when you are fully present with the emotion of excitement and when you're not. But you have to practice it. You have to keep doing it. When we add the emotional piece to it, emotional mind is our unconscious mind. We are getting our unconscious mind on board. And whatever unconscious mind gets programmed with, that is also a signal we are sending out in the universe. And that signal is always the strongest. So when you talk to God, when you ask God, involve your unconscious mind and you will see miracles happening. When I first learned this stuff, I just couldn't believe it was that easy and anyone can create miracles. And I have had plenty of them of my own. And being able to do it over and over, that's what makes it even more fun. Life doesn't feel like I'm just sitting here, God is up there, and I'm disconnected from God, and I don't know if he's even listening to me. We have, when we understand how this actually works, we can bypass all of those doom and gloom that sometimes we carry within ourselves. God has created this universe for us, but we have to learn the creative part of it, like how it's created, all the pieces of the puzzle. That's our responsibility. He has already created it. So I will say, become curious. Learn more about this stuff. Learn more about how the universe works. One last thing I want to share here before we move on to talking about the worship aspect of it. There would be some things that are going to take time. And some people say, like, you know, some prayers are never heard because you will get rewarded for them in the hereafter. Some prayers are not heard for two reasons. One, what you're asking for, you're not ready to receive it yet. That emotion that we are talking about, you have not fully connected with it yet. So if, let's say, you're asking about, I'm going to give a very physical example. Let's say you're talking about a 10-bedroom home, but your mind is still thinking that, you know, that would be too big. How am I going to clean it? Like, your mind has not gotten to a level of expansion yet where you can realize, you know, I can, when I have that big of a home, I think most likely I will not be cleaning it. I'll have someone else clean it. Do you see how there is a shift of consciousness that needs to happen? Unless you shift that within you, you're not going to get that 10-bedroom home. It's not that God is delaying it. You are just not ready to receive it. That is one. And the second thing is, there are some things that have a gestational period. Just like a human baby takes 9 months to complete its form before it comes out. If it comes out before, its life is in danger. So it's the same way the creation work. Let's say I'm working on a project and I need to expand and that energy needs more time for all the pieces to come together. It might take me longer than what I, like, you know, what I'm expecting. So what do I need to do in the meantime? Keep my emotion high. Keep asking for it. Consistency. From a place that I already have it. I set a goal in November of 2021. It's been 2 years. I have not met that goal, but my emotion is still as young for that goal as it was 2 years ago. And I'm still working towards it. And I know as I'm working towards it, I'm expanding. Who knows? Maybe this November I'll hit it. And then I'll say, oh, okay, I know it took me 2 years to expand to that level. Now I know if I want to set the next level goal in the same category, I have a sense of time now, and then we can collapse time. And that is a conversation for another episode. So that was a little bit about when we are just asking God for things that we want. We are just having a conversation, and it's very important for all of us to stay in that conversation, to talk to God. It doesn't always have to be like, give me this, give me that, save me from this, save me from that. It could be just like, this is how I'm feeling today. It could be just a friendly relationship you have with your creator that you can talk to your creator anytime. Sometimes I just say, give me certainty. Help me in this miracle. But sometime it could be, I love you and keep me on this path. Never leave my side. Stay here with me. Let me see you. It's very important we keep that connection, because anytime you're talking to God, you cannot talk to God from your head. That is logic. Spirituality is beyond logic. Your soul is beyond logic. Believing in a power that you have never seen is beyond logic. When you're having that conversation, you're forced to come to your heart. As you come to your heart is opening and you are connecting with your soul. So people who do talk to God, they feel very calm, they feel very energized, and here is the reason behind it. And because they are more time in their heart and they are connected with their soul. Because if you want to stay connected, you want to experience your connection with your soul, you can experience it from your heart. We are all connected with our soul, with God at all time. But if I don't feel it, that means I am not standing on the right spot. I need to move a little bit. And usually that movement is within your heart. So now let's talk about the worship aspect of it. I'm very excited to share this, because this get like, I had to really dig deeper and learn a lot of different discipline to understand it. So I am very excited to share this part. And a lot of my clients ask me many times, can you share it in a class or something? So here we go. Took me a bit to come out and actually teach it. So I am a born Muslim. I do practice praying five times. And for those of a few who are listening who have no idea how Muslim pray, it's a lot of movement. And sometimes if you look at it, you might feel like, the person is doing yoga. And at the same time, they are reciting parts of the Quran, which is one of the three divine books. It's one of the last one that we know of humanity received, and it is words of God. So when I am reciting word of God, that is divine energy. So I just wanted to leave it there for now, but we are gonna go deeper into that. First, we want to understand why God asked us to worship. Every single religion has some aspect of worship. Even just spiritual school who don't consider them to be a religion, they have some kind of ritual or practice going on. So there are three things that I have understood. I'm sure there could be more. One of them is it builds a connection with your soul, because what's happening? Whenever you're involved in any kind of act of worship, you kind of leave everything to a side, or you do something that you're not usually doing. You kind of disconnect from your worldly life, and you just create this little space here to be still, to be present. and to feel something beyond you. And that is the connection with your soul. Can a person experience their connection with their soul even if they are never praying or they are never doing any kind of ritual? It's very possible. As long as they are slowing down, they are maybe going for a nature walk, they are maybe going for another activity. It could be like, you know, swimming in the ocean, and that's when they feel like everything slows down for them. It's the stillness that we are looking for. And then also coming to your heart and exiting your mind. When our mind is just spinning, thinking, just going all over the place, we are not experiencing our connection with our soul. And it is very crucial for every human being who's living in this human experience to experience that. Because that is where unlimited energy is. When we don't experience that, we are physically dying, and we are spiritually dying, we are emotionally dying, and we just feel dissatisfied with life. So first one is connection with our soul. And the second one is worship is a territory beyond logic. It's beyond your mind. Does it make sense to you, like, you know, to pray five times? Why couldn't it be just one time? Or like, you know, go spend your whole Sunday in the church, or like, you know, in Jewish tradition, I've seen, like, you know, for almost like, you know, 24 hours, you're just, you know, kind of disconnected with everything and you're just focused on your connection with your creator. I have seen in Hinduism, they're like, you know, very specific rituals with very specific deities. Like it really doesn't make sense to our logical mind. So every time you are involving an act of worship, you're forced to go somewhere beyond logic. There's no logic there. That is a practice to get out of your head and get into your heart. Every single religion, if you look at it, it's designed to give human tools to be in control of their psychology, for their physical aspect, for their energetical aspect, and for their spiritual aspect. All of it. But most of us, we don't learn religion in that way. We learn it in a very different way, and we all are aware how we learn it. So it gets you used to being in the unlogical territory. The third one is it energizes you with soul's energy. So when I was little, I used to hear it like, you know, prayer is food for the soul, and, you know, food is like food for your body. You eat for your body, you need to eat for your soul. And that's what prayer is. And it didn't really make sense to me till very recently. I'm not gonna, I can go in a lot of details, but I'm going to slow myself down and keep it very simple so I don't confuse anyone here. When your soul comes into your body, not your entire soul is coming into your body. A part of your soul comes into your body. And think of it like a battery that needs to be replaced, or it needs to be energized. So when we don't feed our soul, the body gets weak and the soul end up leaving. When we feed our soul, it stays energized, that body's not suffering, and, you know, you're connected. When we do anything that helps us connect, experience the connection with our soul, it energizes the part of the soul that is in our body. Have you ever experienced that, you know, you did any kind of act of worship, and for once, for whatever reason, you were really present with it? Maybe it was just really quiet. You were present with it. When it ends, you actually feel good. What is that feel good and thing that you feel? That's more energy. When I have more energy, I feel good at all times. When I am depleted in energy, I feel bad, I feel terrible, I feel this, I feel that. It's all energy. So worship is designed to help us connect with the soul, go into a territory that's beyond logic, and it energizes the parts of our soul that is in our physical body that is keeping us alive. So you might have heard of this thing. I know I heard of it, that, you know, prayer or worship is not for God, it's for you. Now I truly understand how it's for me, because if I am praying five times, it's benefiting me, given that I am praying the right way. That is there too. And that is something I'll be talking next. But it's really for you. Like right now, I'm teaching my son to pray. I'm not teaching him that you have to pray because it's one of the pillars of Islam. I'm teaching him, hey, do you want to feel good? Do you want to energize your soul? Do you want to be connected with your heart? Okay, this is how you do it. I'm teaching him the whole science behind it, like why it even exists. And you can do it whatever religion you practice. You can really ponder and ask these questions. You can always reach out to me. I can help you dissect that. But when we teach our kids, hey, this is how you connect with your soul, that is when we are truly passing on spirituality. Because every religion teaches spirituality. Hey, this is how you connect with your soul. And then there are steps. Steps are different for every religion, for whatever reason. But the goal is same. The goal is to connect to the non-physical part of you so you can stay energized. And that is why we have it. So now let's look at how you're going to really experience this soul connection and energized part. So I'm going to share with you from meditation perspective first, and then we'll move into however the worship is designed in your religion, and I'll talk a little bit about how it's designed in Islam and the way Muslim pray. Whenever I am getting ready to do meditation, the way most masters have taught meditation, first you do some kind of exercise, because as you move your muscles and your joints, what's happening? The stagnant energy around you is moving and kind of shaking off. It's almost like, you know, you're taking off the etheric burden that you've been carrying. So there is some kind of body movement happening. I practice twin heart meditation every single day, beside other meditations I do, and they are very specific exercises that you do to get your body ready. So first we are getting our body ready. Then there are breathing exercises that we do. What breath does, it literally cleanses your energy body, cleanses your aura, again, from whatever you've been holding on to. It could be you just had a fight. That's why when you take a few deep breaths, you're not that angry anymore. What we did, we just kicked that energy out of your aura, out of your energy body that is around you. You have shifted your energy body with that deep breath. Breath cleanses us. It makes us feel better. And the last part that we do in the meditation is stillness. So it could be a guided meditation. It could be a meditation you're doing on your own. But the goal is, can I go inward within me so deep that I can actually feel still? When I feel still, I also feel God. One of the very famous line, I believe it comes from Bible, be still and know that I'm God. You might have heard it. You might have, read about it. And stillness is the goal. And again, look, in any spiritual practice, any kind of worship, it's the stillness. At some point, there is stillness. Okay, so now we know that in worship, when we get our body ready, we breathe to clear our body. Then we go still. During stillness, that is when we are downloading energy. Now your body is strong enough, expanding enough to absorb that energy. If it cannot absorb it, then it's not yours. Or if you are not even still, you're not even going to get any energy. You're going to finish your worship, way of worship, and you'll be like, well, that was 10 minutes of my time. Got nothing out of it. Okay, let's go next. So if you truly want to enjoy worshiping your creator, try these things. Try getting your body ready. Whatever you're doing, you know, few some stretches, move your backbone, like, you know, bend forward, backward, whatever you have to do. And then just take 10 deep breaths. You can take 3 deep breaths and then start it. So this is a part that my clients have been asking me a lot. And here we go. We share it. So now talking to my Muslim listeners. So when we pray, there are some very specific movements happening. The heart, the hand goes kind of in the middle of the chest. You're opening your heart. When you're bending, you're putting your hand on your knees and you're bending. It is cleansing your backbone. When you're going all the way to the earth and you're putting your forehead onto the earth, it's cleansing your Ajna chakra, your forehead chakra, because earth takes the negative energy and gives us the positive energy. Your hands are being cleansed as you're standing on the as you're really standing on the ground. Your sole of the feet are getting cleansed as you're touching your knees on the floor. Your knee chakras are getting cleansed. So all these chakras that I'm mentioning, these are so powerful. In every single healing that I do, these are the must that needs to be cleansed. These are the places where we actually have cord buildup. I don't want to confuse you. I'm not going to give too much details here, but just so you know, that's where we kind of hold on to stagnant energy. In other words, all of that is getting cleansed. And at the end, the way that you're sitting is one of the very powerful yoga asana, where we just, you know, sit with our folded legs and, you know, hips sit kind of like on top of the feet. What it's doing, it's cleansing your legs, like all the muscles, all the bones, everything. Like it's an energy cleanse. So let's say that's how the body's moving, right? The body's moving, the movement is happening. When you start focusing on the breath, if you pay attention to your breath, then you are expanding your energy too. So throughout the whole prayer, whether you're praying 2 rakah, 4 rakah, throughout the prayer, stay focused on your breath. As you're breathing and you're moving, you are expanding your energy. And on top of that, you are reciting divine energy. That's what you're reciting. So what it's doing, it's coming out of your mouth. It's cleansing your whole body, whatever needs to be cleansed. Whether it's any worry, whether it's any disease, whether it's anger, whatever it is, it's getting cleansed. And when you practice just looking at the spot where you're supposed to look, and you're really present with your breath, you are in your heart, and you're focusing on every single word that is coming out of your mouth. Not just blabbing it out because you have memorized it and you've been praying it for many, many years. Really focusing on each and every word, that these are the words of your own creator. You're going to hit stillness. And when you hit stillness, that is when you're going to download your soul's energy. You're going to come out of that prayer feeling like a baby, a brand new baby. That's how much energy you're going to have. And it does not matter how many times you pray or how long you've been praying, every time you will feel more energized and more energized. But this is how we do it. If we don't understand, if I don't understand all of this, this is how I'm going to pray. Okay, it's time to pray. I'm getting ready to pray. I'm doing my wudu. I'm standing and I don't even know when I ended the prayer, but all I see myself, what happened? I went into autopilot mode. Did I get any connection? Nope. Did I get any energy? Nope. So then the next time I'll be like, you know, what's the point of praying? I'm not getting anything out of it. You're not getting anything out of it because you're not understanding how you're supposed to pray. What is the purpose of prayer and how to even practice this whole worship part of it? Another aspect just to keep in mind is when we use water to wash certain parts of our body before we involve in any act of worship, why we are using water? Water cleanses anything that we have on etherically. It doesn't just clean the dirt from your feet or from your hand or whatever grease that you have on your hand. It clears the etheric dirt that we have. It could be, you know, what I was looking at, what I was saying, what I was doing. Maybe I was just angry. I just hit my child with my hand. Using a little extreme examples here. Maybe I wrote a very nasty text message to somebody that I know I wasn't supposed to. So what it's doing, it's cleansing us etherically, the energy. It literally prepares you to receive more energy from your soul. But again, if we don't know these things, it means nothing to us. It's just another thing you have to do. So whatever kind of worship that you do, whoever is listening, become curious. Ask yourself why we do what we do. The last aspect I want to share is the timing. Now, first, let me just talk about most religion have something about the morning hour, early morning, especially before even dawn, like before even sun comes up, right? That time. I believe we talked about it in the last episode. If you haven't listened to it, How to Connect with God, highly recommended. Go check it out, episode 4. That is the time when the pineal gland is more active. It's almost like, you know, your antenna is awake. You want to send any signal to outer space? That is the time to do it. That's exactly how it feels like being in a human body. You want to send a signal? That is the time. So if you do any kind of act of worship in that early morning, oh, you're going to get way more energy than any other time. Sometimes I wake up between 1 to 4 a.m. just to do meditation. And that meditation is always so much sweeter, so much different than any other time. So it does make a huge difference in the time. And you can look at whatever religion you practice, whatever the times are. But I want to get into the five prayer times that that I've been practicing and Muslim been practicing. Those, if you look at those times energetically, according to the sun and the moon and the whole movement that is happening in our solar system, those are the time of very specific energetical shifts. Again, I'm not going to get into detail because I can really go in a long tangent. So there is some very specific energy shifting in the morning, in the afternoon, in the late afternoon, at the sunset, and a little bit after the sunset. It's almost like, you know, the needles on the, like a very specific hour. Okay, now I'm shifting from 1 to 2 p.m. and now it's going to be 2 to 3. It's literally a shift is happening. So in that shift, it's very beneficial for you to connect with your soul and get more energy whenever that shift is happening. And whenever that start of the prayer time happens, for example, let's say the prayer is starting at 1 p.m., you're going to have way more energy available at 1:01 p.m. than at 2:30 p.m. If you really want to follow the guidelines, there's going to be more energy available. Now, if you look at it, we are taught to pray as early as possible. As soon as the prayer time comes, as soon as it comes, we're supposed to pray right there and then. That is the reason, because it's not that you'll just get more, good deeds, but you are going to get more energy available to you if you do it at that time. And, just don't believe me. Go do your own experiment. For one day, pray everything, pray five times as soon as it comes. You're going to feel a difference. And then the next day, pray every prayer at the last minute, like right before the next one is about to start praying at that time. Your body will tell you. You'll know the difference. So that is how it's designed, the worship aspect of it. And then another aspect of worship is when we are involved in this act of worship, keeping in mind it's not for God. God doesn't need it from you, but we need it to energize ourselves. There's no favor we are doing on anybody but ourselves. When we start focusing on prayer this way, it's going to start becoming so sweet. Another aspect you can join in is that in that moment, become aware of it's only you and God. Nothing else exists. Everything else is just an illusion. That is the perception that you have, that you have created. All the problems that you have, all the issues that are going on around you, that's your perception. But in that moment, when you're standing for that moment of worship, however you do that, it's just you and Him. Stay with that consciousness and you're going to get even more energized because now you're fully plugged in to your Creator. And whatever is coming from your soul, you'll be able to hold on to more of it. You're going to come out of that prayer experience feeling even better, happier than anyone else around you. And people will ask you, hey, what's so special about you? What did you start doing that we don't know? It is pretty cool when we start to strengthen our spiritual connection and when we don't just get bogged down with all the rules that sometimes, come in religion without understanding why we are doing whatever we are doing. I really hope that this episode, this conversation was enlightening for you. And my prayer is that it really strengthens your personal time with your Creator, with your soul, and you're really able to experience that sweetness. Sometimes we talk about that bliss that comes with that deep meditation when you feel like you really left this world and you were somewhere so beautiful that you didn't even want it to come back. I really pray each and every one of us can experience that on a regular basis. So this is all for today, and I will see you all next week with more wonderful spiritual stuff. Sending you all so much love. Bye.